will go to verse number 43, where he again continues what will happen to society, which is whether dharma is destroyed. Doshai retai kulagnana. Varna sankar karakaihi. Utsadyante jati dharmaha. Kula dharmascha shashvataha. So doshai, so these harmful things done by these people, kulagnanam, those who have destroyed the family and committed the sin of destruction, and varna sankaraka, and they have destroyed the whole society, the whole culture, not only the family but whole society. What happens with that? Utsadyante jati dharma. So there is a dharma, as we said, each society has particular rules. Like now, Hindus follow certain ways of prayer, Muslims follow certain, Christians follow certain. The way they dress, you know, like in India also, different states wear different clothes, different food, different language. So there are certain dharma, certain cultures. And same way in the West, it is different. Even in USA, the North and the South, you know, they speak very different. They eat different food. So now, of course, the US is becoming more and more, you know, homogenized. But originally there was, even in Europe, you know, we find that different parts of, you know, Europe has such so much different. So he says, utsadyante jati dharma. So the dharmas of the society will be destroyed, and the shashvata, ancient kula dharma, because this dharma, that's why Hinduism is a wrong name. The correct name for our faith is Sanatan Dharma, means the ancient religion. It is said it started when human beings first came on earth. That's how ancient this religion is. So here he's talking about importance of family. And we know that family does have strong bearing on how we are. Say like there is a child who was abandoned by his mother at birth, you know, grew up in an orphanage or in a foster home where he's treated badly and beaten, and from one foster home to another and one institution to another. And he's been, what will be his, I mean, some of them turn out to be very good, I'm not saying that, but some of them will grow up very angry, you know, angry at society, angry at the world, and they have no family traditions, no culture, so they don't know, you know, what is my duty, what is my role. Nobody has taught him what to do, and so he becomes he's not going to be a very productive person in society, unfortunately. That is, of course, some of them turn out to be very amazing individuals, but a lot of them then grow up, when they're from dysfunctional families, they're dysfunctional, then it passes on to their wife and children and all. And on the other hand, people who have strong family connections, and their parents and then their grandparents, they take care of each other, they listen to their, you know, advice from their forefathers. That's why in ancient in India, they had this system of joint family, as they had grandfather and father and children, and then uncles and aunts and nephews and cousins and all that. And there was always a senior person whom they listened to. So the unit of society being a family is very important. But suppose there is no culture, no, then what will happen? Like say somebody belongs to, you know, say Gandhiji's child, or Martin Luther King, or Nelson Mandela, or he's John F. Kennedy's son, or he belongs to the royal family in Britain, you know. Not all of them are good, but it is expected that if, you know, listen, your father was like that, your grandfather was great, and how come you are acting like that? So the family plays a very important role in the upbringing of a child. And the example is that there is a crystal making small area between France and Germany, and the border is a very tiny area which is known for its exquisite crystal. They say the crystals they make are so beautiful. They are handmade, they are hand carved. And not only that, but any head of state, any leader, like when Carter was president, when he visited, either Germany or France, they will go to that particular area and buy the crystal. And what those people will do, they will engrave your name. So like if there's a celebrity, they will put his name on the crystal. So that tradition of making those exquisite crystals has been passed on from family to generation to generation. And it's the duty of the son or the daughter or the children to continue. But unfortunately, what is happening now, like in India also, you know, this making of these idols in the South India, especially making idols in temple, is a real art. And it is passed on from father to son to grandson and so on. But what is happening nowadays is that machines are taking over. And the people are saying, I don't want to spend my whole life in crystal. I'd rather learn computers and do MBA and go, you know, get a job in some company. So slowly this art is dying down with less and less people making these crystals, less and less people making these idols and beautiful statues, and machines are taking over. So the point here is that the family tradition is very important, and that's what Arjuna is telling the Lord, that when the family unit is destroyed, when the culture is destroyed, these ancient traditions that we have got, it is our duty to pass on. Like I said, this whatever knowledge I have, whatever the ancient culture, it is very important for us to teach it to our children and to our grandchildren. So this will be destroyed. So this is his point. And then he continues, what will happen to such people? So verse number 44. उत्सन्न कुल धर्माणां मनुष्याणां जनार्दन नरके नियतं वासः भवतीत्यनुशुश्रमा. Shushruma, we have heard. What you see, because Arjuna was a scholar, he had studied. He was not only a warrior, but he had studied the scriptures. Bhishma Pitama, the grandfather, used to make sure that the Kauravas and the Pandavas got a good education, not only in warfare, not only in ruling the kingdom, but also economics, politics, and they were taught religion. And whenever some great saint or sadhu used to come, he would make sure that he not only gave discourse to the adults, but also spoke to the children. And they were taught very systematically the whole entire education. Even their spiritual education was taken care of. So he says, we have heard, Utsanna kula dharmana manushyanam janardana. Janardana was one of Krishna's name. He said, O Krishna, when the kula dharma of the manushyas, of the human beings are destroyed, Narake, in hell, aniyatam vasah. Niyatam means determined time. Like she was asking, how long do they stay in hell? She says, we have heard aniyatam. Niyatam means limited. Unlimited time these people have to stay in hell. That is what we have heard. Now hell, as we said, hell is a word that is not very misused. First of all, people think, okay, if I'm going to go to hell after death, if you say, right? I don't believe in all that. And even if I do, what happens? I'll be dead and gone. If my subtle body, let me enjoy life here. Let me have fun. Let me take what I can. Let me cheat others. As long as I'm rich and wealthy and happy, who cares? After death, who has seen hell and heaven? All these sadhus, these saints, they have nothing better to do. So they sit down and compose these stories and make up this heaven and hell just to scare us. There is nothing in this world alone. There is a group called which only believes in this. This world is real. This body is real, and this life is alone. It enjoy and then die. Who worries about heaven, hell? Who worries about heaven and hell and destruction and punishment and all that? So he says, heaven or hell, I don't believe in that. And even if it happens, it happens. But what they say is that hell and heaven is not anywhere else. It is here itself. here and now. Majority of your karmas, great more, 90% of them you suffer and enjoy here itself. Heaven or hell is very small part. Majority, that's why we find that people who have been very horrible and very hateful, their old age is very miserable. If you see people, they suffer so much in their old age of people who have been harmful to others, who have hurt others. Sooner or later, they pay the consequences. And even while they are committing evil deeds, their mind is so full of anger, and then the reaction to, I've done something bad, then the response that comes or the reaction that comes. So their life here itself is heaven and hell. There is no heaven or hell anywhere else. I mean, there may be, or there is, that's what our scriptures say. But the majority of your ends, and on the other hand, if you have been nice, if you have been kind, if you have been compassionate, if you have been loving, then heaven is right here. You know, everybody is nice with you. You are nice to others. People are nice. You are helping. You get such a positive feedback. You don't need to go anywhere. Heaven is right here. You go to temple or church. You sit down in front of the Lord with a pure heart, the pure mind. Lord, I am here with you. That is heaven. Where else? You don't need to go anywhere. You know, a group like this, when we are talking, is such a beautiful atmosphere. And heaven is right here. Heaven is not a place to go. Talking about heaven reminds me of a little story. So it said when Jesus was crucified, so he was being taken by angels to heaven, you know, and he was going through all these seven worlds. And he said, you know, I'd like to see what happens in hell before I go to heaven. I know you are taking me. So they say, okay. So they take him through hell, and he's just flying above, and he looks down, and he sees in hell, people are eating and drinking and alcohol and drugs and all kind of pleasures, and people are laughing and joking and so much food on the table and all kinds of drinks. And he said, wow, if this is hell, heaven must be so much better. I can't wait. So he goes to heaven, and God meets him and greets him. He says, son, come back. You know, you're back. He said, come on, let's have dinner. And when he serves dinner, there is only khichdi and dal, you know, rice and dal, you know, that's it. So he says, in hell, they are eating all that. And how come we only have two things? God says, you know, I'll say it in Hindi and then translate into English. He says, do aadmiyon ke liye kya khana banana? He says, too much trouble just to cook for two people. Everybody else is down there. So just you and me. So heaven is, hell is right here. And that is what he says we have heard. Verse number 45. And 44, just to couple of other points, just to mention, I talked about hell or heaven. He says society where these kind of things happen, the whole society becomes hell. It's not only the individual, but the society goes down, you know, when the majority of people are evil and corrupt. And that's what we are seeing right now. That's what Krishna is telling Arjuna. Society is right now in hell. There's nowhere hell you have to go. The Kauravas have made society hell. It's not only society, but even the individual. We can make our life heaven or hell. As we said, if we do good, we make our life heaven. If we do evil, we can make our life hell. So hell is not somewhere else, Arjuna. Hell is what you are going through right now with the Kauravas who are so evil. So don't think that hell, society is not going to get any worse after the war. If anything, it will improve because the evil will be cleaned out. So verse number 45, Arjuna continues. Aho bat mahat papam. Kartum vyavasita vayam. Yad rajya sukha lobhena. Hantum svajanam udyataha. So he is now giving up despair. Oh, aho, aho, but means, oh, alas. Means he has used all his arguments, but Bhagwan is still silent. Krishna has not spoken a single word and he's now giving up. He said, I don't think we can accomplish anything. We are about to commit a mahat papam. We are going to commit a grave sin of killing. And kartum vyavastita vayam. We are now ready to commit a grave sin. Oh Krishna, don't you understand? I have been telling you again and again. Krishna understands, but he's silent. He said, let him finish. Let him say what he wants, then I will speak. He said, okay, keep on talking. He says, we are about to commit this great sin. Why? Yad rajya sukha lobhena. Why? Because of greed. Greed of the kingdom and greed of pleasures. That's all we want. And for that, we are ready to kill hantum swajana mudyataha. We are ready to kill our near and dear ones. It's like he's repeating again and again. You know, sometimes when a student doesn't understand, the teacher has to repeat. So he thinks, Bhagwan doesn't understand. So maybe I have to repeat and tell him that what is the truth. So the despair you can already see in his words. He's now giving up. He says, I don't think I can do anything. Actually, the same thing had happened to Yudhishthir. It is said a few days before the war started, Yudhishthir had gone through the same despair. That this Yudhishthir was, of course, a very noble soul, and he really did not want the war. And he said, you know, what a tragedy is going to happen, because those two armies were collecting, the soldiers were coming, the kings were coming on one side or the other. And Arjuna at that time actually had consoled Yudhishthir, just as the Lord Bhagavan Krishna consoles him. He had told him, brother, you know, this war we have to fight. So even though he himself had told his older brother why this war is just, but now he is under that spell of that delusion. Why? And he says, just for the kingdom, you know, we are doing evil things, and same thing happens to you and me. Just for the sake of a new job, or the sake of a little money, or sake of a little success, we cheat others, we hurt others, we step on others, you know, to get more, and even to get what I don't deserve. So he says, same thing we are doing, just for the sake of this kingdom. And there was Ramakrishna Paramhans, was a very great saint in India. And he made this statement. He said, either you can have Rama in your life, or you can have Kama. So Rama means God, and Kama means selfish desires, lust. Both cannot exist together. You cannot say, I want things for myself. I want to be selfish. I want to hurt others, cheat others. And then you cheat everybody, and then you go to the temple and give $100 or $1,001. It's not going to do anything. You think God will be fooled by your donation? I mean, it's better at least you have given donation rather than spending on drugs or drink. That is true. But if you think that you can buy God with these goods, you know, by these donations, is wrong. So he says, either you can have Rama or you can have Kama. You cannot have both. So either if you have God in your heart, then automatically selfishness, cheating, harmful things will go away. If you have selfishness, hatred, anger, greed, jealousy, then God runs away. God doesn't want to live in a heart. There is all this negativity and anger. Of course, God is there everywhere. Poor guy can't escape. He's stuck. He's with us, whether we are evil or whether we are good. But he's not happy to live. It's like, why am I living in this dirty place? So if they say, if you want God to be happy, make your heart sweet, make your heart loving, so that he will. And that's what we see in the lives of great saints and prophets and, you know, all of them. They were able to live that life. They say, is it possible to live a life, you know? Yes, it is possible. Look at the life of Shankaracharya, Gurudev, Swami Chinmayanandaji. Look at Mirabai. Look at Tukaram. Look at Narsi Mehta. Look at Jesus. Look at Buddha. They all lived that life. And they showed us that it is possible. Even living in a family, some of them were family members. Mirabai, Tukaram, Narsi Mehta, they all lived in a family, but still were able to evolve to a higher state. So we shouldn't say, I have all these family responsibilities. Where do I have time for religion? Where do I have time for spirituality? If you have the desire, you will make time. No matter how busy you are, if you have the desire to serve the Lord, you will serve the Lord. If you have the desire to pray, to read, you know, we waste so much time on the internet, on the phone, on watching TV, just talking uselessly on the phone, chatting with people. And all this, so much time we waste. Some of that time, if you devote to self-improvement, I want to become a better individual, I want to evolve, you can find the time. So that is what he says. We are about to commit this horrible sin. Now we'll go to the verse number 46. Now he is giving up. He says, Yadi mama pratikaram. Ashastram shastra panayaha. Dhartarashtrarane hanyuhu. Tanme kshematram bhavet. He says, you know what? I don't care. I don't care what happens to me, but I'm not going to fight. He says, even if mam apratikaram ashastram, even if I am not resisting and without weapons, I'm just sitting there, shastra panaya, with weapons in the hand, these dhartarashtra, these Kauravas, these evil Kauravas, they come and kill me in the battle. At this moment, I cannot even lift my weapons. So I'm just going to sit here, and without weapons, I'm just going to not resist and let them kill me. Even if that happens, tat make shema taram bhavet, that will be for me better. I would rather give up my life just sitting here. Imagine the greatest warrior of his time, the great Arjuna, who had challenged even the Lord Shiva himself, and had, you know, such a great warrior. And what is he, you know, come down to? Because of lack of understanding, he said, I'm just going to sit, not resist, drop my, and let them come and cut my head off. It doesn't matter. So what he's saying is kshema. The word kshema, Gurudev in his commentary says that there are two things, kshema or moksha. Moksha is spiritual evolution, you know, where I become one with God. Here Arjuna is not talking moksha. For earlier he was talking about society and culture and religion. But here he's saying what is good for me and what is good for society is to not fight. So kshema is the material progress. He says not only spiritually society will go down, but materially will go down. And the question is, whom should we fight? You know, they say the whole life is a battle. Life is a constant battle. So people think life is a battle means I should fight others, I should step on others, I should steal from others, cheat others, hurt others. Anger, you know, people glorify anger. Actually, nowadays, anger is so much glorified. You see so many movies where this angry young man, Amitabh Bachchan, or, you know, somebody like that, or even here, some guy with a gun. Why? Because his parents were hurt or his sister was hurt. So the whole movie is taking revenge. He's catching evil people, killing them. So they glorify anger. They glorify fighting. So they say fight is not with the external. When you say life is a battle within. I have to fight within my evil tendencies, my hatred, my jealousy. Those are what I have to overcome. And that is what will result in peace. Peace in my heart and peace in society. As long as I have anger, there cannot be peace. Anger and peace cannot coexist. Anger and love cannot coexist. Anger and compassion cannot coexist. There was a Muniji who comes here every year to Bharti's house. And one of the points he makes is gussa. Anger is so harmful. It burns you. And it burns others, because the anger comes out as bad words or harmful action or some violence. But even if it doesn't come out, say there is somebody, a lady who's very angry at her husband because of whatever he is doing, she may not hurt him, but inside she's angry and angry and angry and angry. All it is doing is burning her, making her miserable. And the person may not even know that she's angry. They say, just forgive and forget. God, you take care of him. Ultimately, he will pay for his own karmas. By me getting angry, all I'm doing is hurting myself. I should be at peace. I should forgive and let it go. I mean, not that you allow it to happen. If you can do something about it or stop it, you stop it. Not that you be a doormat. But inside, do not have anger towards anybody. Even if the person is the worst person, you say, it's okay, God, you will, I know you will take care of him. His karmas will take care. I, in my heart, I should not have anger. If I can stop somebody doing wrong, I should do that. If not, I should just leave it. So that is the verse that he says, I am not ready to fight. I am ready to give up my body and I am ready to surrender. In fact, I would rather go to the forest and live a life of sannyas than fight this battle. The greatest warrior and who is ready to fight a noble war. See, that is one is a war which is done for selfish purposes. Here the war is for dharma, for establishment of dharma.